Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki, Bree, and Jacob. How are you three doing?
Pretty good.
I'm half naked. I'll let you figure out which half that is.
Thankfully, there's no...
I'm no longer pretty good. Thank you for that. Now I'm miserable. Thank you.
Hey, Jacob.
I'm going to need you to fuck off, sir.
I mean, that's fair, but still doesn't change the fact that I'm half naked.
Yay!
So, how was everybody's week?
Well, in the past couple of weeks, I've had a whole bunch of seizures, so it's been...
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I have not had a good past couple of weeks, but other than that, I've been pretty good, you know?
Besides the multiple seizures, I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
I had a giant panic attack on Tuesday, and I'm doing okay now, I guess. Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
I went to bed at 2 o'clock last night, and I got out of bed at 6 p.m. today. That's how my day was.
Yeah. Damn.
I'm envious, although I know that, you know, it's not always the best thing, but...
Yeah, I was about to say, is that depression, or did you just have a real damn good sleep?
Hella depression, yo.
Oh, that sucks.
Ah, well, that's life. Now I'm doing this show, so the depression is so much worse because I got put up with you.
Yep. You know what? Fair.
Wait, you have a button for that.
Yay! See, it's because Joe has to put up with Aki, not me. Ha.
Still, yeah. Fair. I accept this blame. And I worship it. Thank you.
I do have one good piece of news, though. From this week.
Let's hear it.
Good. Thank God.
I really love my SML podcast shirt. I got a purple one.
Nice.
And the print is great. And the printing is really actually very quality. And I've been wearing it like a lot. Like it's my new favorite shirt to wear.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
So there you go. There's something positive.
Really cool. So there you go, people. If you want a nice new shirt, you could just head over to our merch page, pick something up. We have a handful of shirts available. We have some mugs available. We have some stickers available. Check it out. Pick something up and use the code GAPINGBUTTHOLE to save 13% off your order.
I am still shocked they allowed that one of all things.
Me too.
And they still haven't decided that was a mistake. That's the best part of this.
I really need to get a new Ball Squad shirt, though. Like, everyone loved the Ball Squad shirt.
Do we still promote that Tubby energy drink?
I mean, there's still a sticker for it underneath our stream, but...
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah. Gaping Beehole. Yep. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you do any sleeveless tees?
No, but I could look into making one.
Yeah.
What size would you need?
Fat ass.
Fat that doesn't ass. Help.
I actually have no idea. I'd have to find a shirt because I don't wear shirts very often.
Oh, hey, so I'm not the only one half naked. Nice.
I don't leave my house. What do you think I wear? The bare minimum.
Naked. Are you tits out 24/7?
Basically, yes.
I mean,
that's like Jacob being dicks out 24/7.
Yeah, I have to wear underwear. I sit on fuzzy chairs, and that just feels wrong. I don't like that feeling. So
Jacob sits on a leather chair without underwear on, and then he stands up and his balls stick to the seat.
Yeah, it is such a bitch during summertime. I hate it so much.
Oh my god, that's my fantastic.
Like, they just stick to my thigh, like, and it's just I rip off some hair every single time. And I'm not going to tell you if it comes from my thigh or my ball sack.
I hate my life. Thank you.
Zimber's saying a leather chair. Yes, it's rich Corinthian leather. Just like Ricardo Montalban used to advertise.
So should we get to the news?
I only have my testicles sitting in the finest that money can buy. Actually, it's from my old previous job, so fuck them. I made them pay $250 for a fat guy leather chair.
Nice.
I mean, fair. If you can get them to pay for it, fuck it.
Yeah. Go for it. Unfortunately, I got fired before they sent me my desk, so I don't think I'm ever going to get a desk from them, but...
Boo.
Yeah. Jeez. I got the chair. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
My wife was like, you know, if you have to get rid of it because it reminds you of your work, you're like, I understand. And I'm like, this is a $250 chair that I can easily do the Captain Kirk pose in. No. Like, I'm not getting rid of this fucking chair. Hell no.
That's fair.
I approve.
That's actually how I judge chairs with arms. If I could do a Captain Kirk. I'm
trying to get to the news, and Jacob just won't stop about this.
All right, so shut the fuck up. So I was saying... Like, that's actually how I judge chairs with arms. If I could do a Captain Kirk, like, you know, sit forward pose in it, then it has my approval. If I can't, fuck it. I don't want to sit in it.
Good I'm talk. Staring at the camera.
I see vein. That. It's a little, it was a little creepy because I wasn't sure if like the feed froze and now you're still staring at me.
I have a question now because I'm sorry, Joe. It's going to have to be paused a little longer.
What's the question?
The Captain Kirk pose where you lean forward, how is that a chair with arms thing and not just a can you bend the fuck forward thing? I'm confused.
Because the way William Shatner sits in the chair when he's like looking forward, you have to like have your left elbow sitting on the armrest of the chair and your hand palm down has to be on the right side. So that's the Captain Kirk pose.
Oh, okay. That was my question. I'm not old. I'm sorry.
I can appreciate that now? Aki for once was like, huh, there is logic behind this. All right,
Can we do news now?
Yes, we can sorry. Do
news now.
Bree's like, I fucking hate you too. There was a Nintendo Indie World showcase. A lot of stuff Yay. Was announced. Balatro getting crossover DLC update, not DLC, an update. Crossovers with The Witcher, Vampire Survivors, Dave the Diver, and Among Us.
Is that the poker one?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's a free update available now.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Hell yeah.
Nice.
Greece is getting a sequel called Neva coming out October 15th.
Greece is getting a sequel? It already had one with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Nope. I want to hit you. I can't wait for that game. I am so excited for it.
They showed off a game called Moth Qubit. It is weird, has a lot of mini games. It's releasing spring 2025. I don't know how to explain it because it was so weird.
I don't know
if anyone else saw the indie showcase, but...
I did not, but Cuba it's is a weird one. On Steam.
I didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck is this game? You're right. I don't know what this is. It seems like you're an office worker somehow, sometimes.
Yeah, and it's just all batshit crazy mini games and weirdness. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, so. After that, Coffee Talk Tokyo is coming in 2025.
What?
Huh. Okay.
New Coffee Talk. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I love Coffee Talk.
Me too.
Sea of Stars is getting Throes of the Watchmaker DLC with a new character coming spring. And oh yeah, it's free.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I saw Hell that. Yeah.
Power Wash Sim getting a new crossover.
Yay.
With Shrek.
Yay.
Are you cleaning his outhouse?
You're cleaning his swamp, yes.
That makes me so happy.
Yes. Coming out this fall. So it's just around the corner.
I really need to buy that game.
A new game called Morsels is coming from Annapurna in February. is a roguelike RPG-ish kind of thing, another weird looking one.
Okay. I like the designs in it. It's
after Annapurna. That.
Yay.
Yeah, it's Annapurna, so that has my attention. The next one has my attention, and I'm sure it has Aki's attention. It is called Date Everything from Team 17, coming out October 24th, where you get to literally date everything in the game.
Yeah, if any of you are familiar with the game Boyfriend Dungeon, this is that, except for it's like household appliances and shit. I cannot wait for this. I am...
I'm excited for that too. Yeah.
Is there going to be JD Vance DLC where you can fuck a cow?
No. Jesus.
You probably can.
There's already a game for that. It's called Couch Fucker.
Wait, really? What?
Yes.
There is a game called Couch Fucker where you are like a gigolo and you. It's a whole thing.
Oh my God. Is it on Steam or something?
Yes, of course it is.
Holy shit. I got to go look this. Oh, wait, this is my work computer.
So?
I've only been here back for a month. I'd prefer to keep the job.
Yeah.
Instead of HR being like, Jacob, why are you looking up Couch Fucker on the company property?
Oh, I'm not seeing Couch Fucker on here. I'm seeing Chair neither. Fucking Simulator.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. It's Chair Fucker.
Yeah, Chair Fucking Simulator. Simulator. Yeah. God, it's horrific.
Oh my God, it's only $2.
Yeah.
We're all like, buy it.
There's also that weird one about the soda cans that you date. Yeah. Shit's weird.
Well, all reviews, overwhelmingly positive for Chair Fucking Simulator.
Yeah. Aki, you were going to request it for a review?
No.
What? Why came not? Out
in 2020. We're not covering this game.
Oh, that's... Well,
I might still have the email where they offered me a code.
Oh my God. When?
It was a few years ago. 2020, weren't you listening? Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, new Peggle RPG called Peglin is coming to the Switch. It is a timed exclusive out now.
That sounds cool.
It looks really friggin' cool. I hope it eventually comes to more platforms like Xbox. Because I love Peggle, and if you want to mix RPG elements into that, it looks so friggin' cool.
I'm so bad at Peggle.
The game is so cool and interesting that it actually convinced Tim to come back to do another review for us. Yeah, so he'll be talking about that. Wobbly Life is hitting the Switch in December. New game called Pico Park 2 is hitting the Switch today as a timed exclusive. It is hitting Xbox, I believe, next month. It is an up to 8-player platformer puzzle game where you can do any level from 1 to 8 players. So you don't need 8 players, but if you're looking at the Xbox achievement list, you're going to need 8 players.
Yeah. Nice.
Have you seen the achievement list?
Sounds rough. Yeah, that sounds rough.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to organize 8 players to play this thing.
Hard enough to coordinate like 4 achievements on a regular basis. Yeah.
Hopefully they have like matchmaking so you don't need to organize. You can just like
start
a game and get randos helping. Who knows? They had a sizzle reel with a whole bunch of games they showed off. Shovel Knight, Shovel of Hope DX. Comes out 2025. Europa comes out October 11th. Cuisineer comes out January 28th. On Your Tail, November 21st. Metal Slug Tactics in the fall. And The Plucky Squire out September 17th.
Plucky Squire looks cute.
It does. That's going to be on PS Plus, too.
For a while. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. The final thing at the Indie World Showcase was Pizza Tower hitting the Switch today.
Nice.
Yeah. And then they finished it off saying that there was a Nintendo Partner Direct coming now. So, more games. They started off with Tetris Forever, brand new Tetris Time Warp game that has like Tetris, Tetris 2, Hattris, Tetris 3 that I didn't even know existed. It has an all new version of Tetris that mixes all the versions together. It's from Digital Eclipse, who does the interactive documentaries. So I cannot wait for this game to come out. I love Tetris. This is like my new must-have for the year.
Fair.
Coming out this year, sometime this year. So TBA. Nice. After that was a game called Star Overdrive coming out. TBA 2025 is a timed exclusive. Don't know much about it. Goat Sim 3 hitting the Switch now. It is out that day. Physical version awesome. Coming November.
Nice.
Yep.
Very nice.
Legend of Heroes Trails of the Sky First, a remake of the first game in the series, hitting everything but Xbox in 2025, obviously. They had a video for Star Wars Hunters Season 3, which hits September 26th. Let's see. Stalker, Legends of the Zone Trilogy. The nice. First three games hitting in November on the Switch. So we have that now on PlayStation and Xbox, which is getting it November.
Yay, we get to make a lot of kids cry now.
Worms Armageddon Anniversary Edition coming out September 26th. Big anniversary re-release of Worms Armageddon. Going to hit all platforms. And if you're into Worms, it looks great.
Nice.
Disney Dreamlight Valley has a new in-game event coming up. Jacob, do you have any news on that?
Nothing that I haven't already shared.
September 4th, what's that one?
Oh, shoot, that's right. There is, like, a new Star Path. Crap, I forgot.
He's not ready!
Yeah, no, I forgot. They announced it, and I was just like, oh, okay, great. Something else I have to grind.
I am shooketh to my core.
Yeah, I legit don't even remember, like, what the big deal about it is. Dang.
And I'm sitting here with, like, bated breath waiting for Joe to say, like, my favorite piece of news. But anyway, go on.
The Patrick Star game?
No.
Oh.
Well, that is pretty cool.
That's the next thing, the Patrick Star game. SpongeBob SquarePants, the Patrick Star game, comes out October 4th. That's from Outright, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It is. It actually got leaked back in the summer, if you recall, early summer. Some like Eastern European video game website accidentally posted the listing, and everyone up on the Outright Discord was like, hey, what's this? And Outright like was just mum about it. Like they wouldn't even say no, like, you know, oh, we can't comment on it. They just ignored anything.
No, they can't ignore it now.
I feel like if they ignore, like, because I mean, I've asked about stuff before that I found online, and they were, and like, Stevie was like, no, that's not real. So anytime that they just like shut up about it, it's like, that's coming.
Yeah. And if you're a collector, the Switch version at Best Buy is getting a steelbook.
Nice.
Yeah. Fitness Boxing 3 coming December 5th.
Cool.
Cool.
And then the part that pissed off Xbox gamers everywhere. Capcom Fighting Collection 2 and Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. Neither coming to Xbox.
Of course they aren't.
Capcom Fighting Collection 2 featuring the Power Stone games.
Motherfucker. I like those games.
Yeah, if you listen to Jez Corden on Twitter, he's claiming that Microsoft is working with Capcom on this. Actions speak louder than words. Fucking do something, Xbox. Make it happen. Make these games happen. Like, a lot of people are getting pissed off at this shit. I'm sick of Capcom. I'm sick of companies skipping Xbox with compilations like this. It is so fucking frustrating. I never know how to pronounce these games. Atelier?
I don't know how to pronounce
it. Atelier. Atelier Yumiya. Coming early 2025, get this, it's coming to Xbox. Very first game in the franchise coming to Xbox.
Huh.
I didn't realize
it was the first one.
Yeah, I didn't either. How many games are in the series?
A lot. Atelier series? A ton.
Wait, how do you spell it?
Atelier.
Oh, never mind. I thought it was the Atelier thing.
What?
I don't know, man. Like, there's some other game I've played, like, that I've had to review on here. Let me figure it out. Attorney. Like, oh, Eterno Blade. Never mind.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. Oh,
shut up.
Yeah, not even close.
Proud of you.
Whatever. You know
Sweet
what?
Sweet it in. 1 and 2 HD remaster coming March 6th.
Nice.
Is that the one you were waiting for, Bree?
Suikoden, yes.
Suikoden.
Yes.
March 6th. Coming.
Yes. I'll be awake for like 3 days.
Are you going to take off from work?
Okay. So the very, very first time I played Suikoden, I rented it from Blockbuster because my boyfriend wanted to get rid of me for the weekend.
Damn.
He was having like a guy's weekend with the LAN party and he wanted me out of the way. And I was like, fine, rent me like what I want. And I will go stay upstairs and make you guys food and snacks and just whatever. Like, well, I won't bother you. And so I started this game and 30 hours later, I am like on the final boss, like falling asleep, trying to stay awake, fighting to just like, because I could not put the game down.
Nice.
Yes. I'm going to revisit that.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. I thought it would be out a lot earlier, but.
Yeah, it was supposed to already be out. Now. Yeah.
November 14th, I'm excited for this one. Dragon Quest III HD 2D Remake had a new trailer. That is hitting everything, so that'll be on Xbox. I can't wait to pick that one up.
Very nice.
After that, they showed off the Castlevania Dominus Collection. Available today. It is a collection of the 3DS versions of Castlevania. Dawn of Sorrow, Order of Ecclesia, and shit, something else. Three of them, and then a fourth game, the original arcade version of Castlevania, getting like a remixed version, I think it is, like Haunted Arcade or Haunted Cat, I don't remember the name of it, but a fourth bonus game, and that's on everything, so you could pick it up now.
Nice.
I'm thrilled about that one, I picked that up already. Sid Meier's Civ 7 hitting Switch February 11th.
Nice.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Okay,
which I just did. Now I had to go online and like look up the Disney Dreamlight thing because I was like, why didn't I remember it? Now I do. It's an end of summer event, and the big thing is that you get some sort of bonfire like flame pit thing. And I remember seeing it. And I was like, oh, no costumes. All right, I don't care.
You get to shove people into the fire.
No, the game's it's like a Disney game for everyone.
Well, you know, you never know.
Yes, you do know.
I can hope.
The Disney game. new Tales game coming. Tales of Graces F remastered. Hitting everything January 17th.
Sweet.
Fuck yeah.
I am thrilled about that one. That one was originally a Wii game in Japan. Came to the PS3, and it has been trapped on the PS3 for so long. It is allegedly one of the better Tales games. I've owned it on PS3 and I never played it. Oh, this will be my chance to rectify that and give it a go.
Yeah.
Nice.
My Sims getting a new game. My Sims Cozy Bundle coming out November 19th.
I forgot that franchise was even a thing.
Yeah. Five Nights at Freddy's getting two games on the Switch this holiday with Help Wanted 2 and Security Breach Ruin.
Nice.
They had a new trailer for Disney's Epic Mickey Rebrushed, which comes out September 24th.
I am excited for that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
This holiday, there's going to be a Tales of the Shire, a Lord of the Rings game.
I remember seeing something about that previously, and it looked cute.
Yeah, and then I heard you have to craft stuff, and I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like that's one of the exceptions to my rule where I might actually enjoy it.
Fair enough.
Jacob, next game's for you. Just Dance 25, October 15th.
Oh, snap. My kids are going to love it.
New trailer for Funko Fusion coming out this holiday. That one looks good.
Yes, it does.
EA Sports FC 25 hitting the Switch September 27th.
So nice.
EA rejoining the Switch. New trailer for Lego Horizon Adventures coming this holiday.
That game looks cool.
Rune Factory Gardens of Azuma coming in spring. Thimber asking if the new Just Dance is skipping Xbox One, right? Just Dance? Probably. I think even last year's was series only. A lot of games are skipping Xbox One. It's been 4 years of the new gen. It's gonna happen.
Let it go.
More games are gonna start switching and dropping the old platforms, like the new Castlevania Dominus Collection. That's series only. Yeah.
Which I find kind of weird, because it's not like, I mean, do you really think that the Xbox One would not be able to handle the processing power needed for that?
Like, no, it's just more work to port it to another platform.
I thought the thing about the
Xbox One... It's not on PS4 either, I don't think. It's just PS5, Series, and Switch.
Yeah, I thought the thing about the Xbox One, the Series, was that the architecture was all the same, so you could make a game for both of them pretty easily, I thought. I thought that was the whole thing.
Easily, yeah, but that still requires time and effort to make that version work, and the QA and testing and everything else. Fair. So if they don't want to put the manpower to that, it's like these Capcom games skipping Xbox One, because they're not series versions. They're PS4, Switch, and it would be Xbox One for these Capcom games that are skipping out.
Okay.
There's something with allegedly the MT framework that Xbox isn't working with anymore, but that's what the games are built on, and that's why Capcom is skipping, allegedly. I don't know. Anyway, final game of the partner direct was Yakuza Kiwami, hitting the Switch October 24th.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Much excited.
Thimber with some news saying Lollipop Chainsaw Repop was confirmed now for PS4 and Xbox One as well. Not just new gen.
Awesome. I'm still kind of excited for that because I never played it originally.
You might be better off getting the 360 version because the music.
What? Really?
The licensed soundtrack?
Oh.
They did not get the music back.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Because James Gunn helped develop the game, and he's big with soundtracks.
Oh, crap.
So he had a lot of licensed music in the game. So,
I mean,
I'm sure they got a few of the songs, but I'm guessing not all of them.
I'm now like a little anxious to see how much it costs on eBay.
What, the original Lollipop?
Yeah.
I don't know if I even want to know, because it's going to hurt my feelings.
Like $23 just for the disc.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's actually surprisingly cheap, actually.
My God, Coltrane, why are you all over my lap today? He's just running back and forth across my lap from chair to chair. Boy. All right, more news, because there's still more news. The PlayStation Plus lineup for September was announced. Their three games are Quidditch Champions, MLB The Show 24, and Little Nightmares 2.
That's a pretty good lineup.
That is a pretty good lineup. A lot of people are pissed because they don't want the show, but it's nice that they're getting it after it's been on Game Pass for half the year. Quidditch seems pretty cool too, because that's a brand new release day one on PS Plus.
Yeah.
That's cool. I don't know if the game's any good or not, but the PS5 is going up in price in Japan once again, going from about 67,000 yen all the way up to nearly 80,000. That is about a $90 price difference, going from 460 to 550.
Why are they doing that?
Because the yen is tanking, apparently.
Huh.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I don't know if it's recovering at all, but from what I hear, the yen isn't doing well, and that's a reason why the price is going up in Japan. They're increasing the price on pretty much everything, from the systems, the digital systems, the disc tray add-on, the portal, the controllers. Everything's going up over.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah. And there's also new rumors about the PS5 Pro. They're saying that we might find out about it later this month. Rumors of a December release. And potentially a $700 price tag, if the rumors are true.
Wow.
Yeah, they're
saying, the hell? Like, that is ridiculous.
Yeah. These are all just rumors. They could be completely bullshit for all we know. I'm just reporting what I've seen online. They're reporting a December release. The digital would be $599. The physical would be $699. And if it's still true, hard drive's still only going to be 1 terabyte.
Fuck that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's not worth the time.
That's wild. Yeah,
that's rough. And I'm over here wanting to drop $599 on the 2 terabyte Series X with no performance increase. It's just more storage.
That storage is a godsend.
Oh, man, I want it so bad. Two rumors going around about Black Myth Wukong. One is saying it's on hold due to a bad memory leak and that Microsoft has refused certification. The other rumor is that there's an exclusivity deal with Sony.
Fuck Sony if that's true.
Yeah. No word on which is true, but...
I was going to say, neither one would actually be particularly surprising.
No. There are reports of bad memory issues on the PS5 version as well, with memory leak issues, but it's apparently after like 4 or 5 hours. And
you just
save and restart the game and it fixes it.
Then I would not be shocked if that were the problem. So if it's a problem on one system, it's probably a problem on the other.
Yeah.
That sucks. Hopefully they can get that fixed real quick and it can get put out everywhere.
Hope so. Hopefully there's no exclusivity. There probably is.
Better not be.
Taiko no Tatsujin Rhythm Festival is hitting PS5, Steam, and Series X and S November 7th. First game in the series to support 120 FPS on home console. And the store makes mention of the Taiko no Tatsujin drum controller.
It looks like
we might finally get the drum controller on Xbox.
Yes.
So day one buy for you, right, Joe?
Goddamn right.
I knew it.
I fucking love Taiko. Those games are so fun. And to have the actual drum.
Oh. Yes. I would have so much more fun playing with a drum than a controller.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. Yeah, Hori confirmed the Xbox version of the drum. I don't know if they confirmed it for American release or if it's just going to be a Japan only, because they've done Japan only releases on drums in the past. So I would love to see Hori release it in the States.
Now, if they released it only over in Japan, would you be able to connect it to Series X over here?
Yeah. It's just a USB drum.
Okay, so it would really just be an import issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it would work just fine. It's just hardware. Blue Protocol is ending service in Japan in January. That is the MMO from Amazon and Bandai Namco. The game is no longer getting a full worldwide release.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Shocking.
I'm bummed about it. I've had my eye on that one for a while, and I've even tried looking up... Because I like MMOs.
No, I'm just curious. Like, it wasn't meant as like a fantasy
RPG.
Okay. I'm not just big on MMOs. This does look actually pretty interesting.
I thought it looked really good visually. It's fantasy MMO. I'm into stuff like that. So, bummer, it's not getting a release.
Did they say why?
Bandai doesn't want to do it, so they're just killing the game.
Oh,
yeah.
Jeez. Okay. Kind of unceremoniously.
Two more tidbits of news, these involving massive blockbusters over on the PS5. Recently released PS5 and PC title Concord, released to minimal fanfare and a max of 697 players concurrently on Steam. Gollum's all-time peak was 758.
Yeesh. It's lucky it got that high as far as I'm concerned.
That's bad.
That is bad. I checked it last night. There were less than 200 people playing.
Wow. Jesus.
That sucks.
I heard it's not bad either.
I don't know. I'm not going to play it and find out. My buddies were playing Deadlock, and there were 70,000 people playing Deadlock and 200 playing Concord on Steam.
That sucks.
Yeah, and speaking of PS5 games that were total failures, Foam Stars is going free-to-play October 4th.
That doesn't shock. I didn't even realize it was a paid-for game.
Yeah, it's $29.99. If you buy it before the 4th, you'll get some legacy gifts like skins and a title and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So, hooray for Foam Stars going free to play. Maybe I'll try it. Probably not, but maybe. Aki, any news on your end?
No, not anything related to video games now.
Bree, what you got?
So Vampire Survivors is out on PlayStation today, making it finally available on all consoles.
Nice.
That's exciting. Some Xbox cloud gaming news. The Amazon Fire TV devices that they released on, they now have two more available, the Fire TV Stick 4K Max 1st Gen and the Fire TV Cube 3rd Gen can now be part of the Xbox experience. So they're continuing to expand on that, which is kind of cool. And Remedy Entertainment announced that they will be self-publishing Control 2. And that they're partnering with Annapurna on the financing of the game. And they have plans to bring Alan Wake and Control to film and television.
Yes. My life is now good and complete. Okay.
But that was all my news.
Cool. Jacob, what you got?
Croc is the old PlayStation game is going to be getting a remaster from Argonaut Games. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Thimber was just what? No love for the Croc news? Right as you said it.
Nice. And then I only have one other piece of news. Sonic Movie Watch.
We still got need a sound poster. Clip for that.
Yeah, we do. We got a movie poster for Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and a trailer. And I'm not going to lie, the trailer looks pretty awesome. My kids lost their damn minds when they came home from school and watched it the other day.
Your kids or you?
Me first. And then when they came home from school, they did.
I am watching the trailer right now.
Yeah, like it's pretty dope. I'm looking forward to it. And interestingly enough, supposedly, oh shoot, was it AMC? I forget. One of the movie theater chains supposedly accidentally posted that it's going to be rated PG-13 and it will have a runtime of 2 hours, 19 minutes.
Jeez.
However, they quickly took that down, so it might have been an error, but I'm talking about it here for posterity.
PG-13, Tails is gonna say fuck. How great would that be?
I was gonna say,
Tails is like, what the fuck was that?
Of all the characters, yeah, we need Tails to be the one to drop the F-bomb in the movie.
That would be perfect.
Oh no, they snuck an F-bomb into, what, Guardians of the Galaxy 3?
I don't know, I didn't see it.
I think James Gunn got one in there where he, Star-Lord is trying to get the guy to open the door. He's like, okay, no, now get the thing, yeah, now open the fucking door.
Well, if it's PG-13, you're allowed the use of the word fuck once.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, because they did it in Top Gun Maverick as well.
Yeah, but it's Disney, so it's kind of weird to think that they got an F-bomb in a Disney movie.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think Disney's very keen to just let James Gunn do his own thing.
Yeah.
They got a whole lot of them in Deadpool, so, you know.
I'm so happy Deadpool and Wolverine got an R rating.
Yeah.
I'm so happy Disney was like, yeah, we kind of got to let that one go. Is that all the news?
Yeah.
That's all I got.
All right. We ready for reviews then?
Let's do it.
All right. Yeah. First game to talk about tonight is Star Wars Outlaws, code provided to us by Ubisoft for the purpose of this discussion, developed by Massive Entertainment, published by Ubisoft. Released August 30th on Series X and S, PS5, and the Ubisoft store on PC for $69.99. Experience the first ever open world Star Wars action adventure game and explore distinct locations across the galaxy, both iconic and new. Risk it all as scoundrel K. Vess seeking freedom and the means to start a new life. Fight, steal, and outwit your way through the galaxy's crime syndicates as you join the galaxy's most wanted. Aki, tell us about your time with Star Wars Outlaws.
Okay, in this you play as K-Vess, a human who is really bad at what she does, but thinks she's really good at it. She is a scoundrel, a racketeer. She will take basically any job that's handed to her that might get her money in hopes that she'll actually complete one of them successfully. She hasn't had very much luck with that. She has a cute, adorable, furry axolotl pet named Nyx, who acts as a dog, basically, for you. And she...
Can you pet the dog?
Yes. Yes. Yes, you can.
Okay, good.
And it makes a little noise when you do, and it's so cute, and I love it. I love Nyx. so... She starts off in this backwaters, you know, place, and she sort of kind of pisses off one of the richest crime syndicates in the entire galaxy. And not only does she do this by breaking in to steal their stuff, but she also to steal money. But she also steals the head of this organization's favorite ship and then promptly crashes it because she's great at everything she does. and that is the start of the game, folks. That is the first, like, couple of hours. You end up on another planet. And you end up needing to, obviously, repair your ship so you can hopefully go and score more money because you have a death mark on you. Because, as I said, you really pissed this dude off. And he just rather you not exist anymore. So you need to become so rich that no one will fuck with you ever again. That is the entire journey for this game. She wants to be so rich, no one will come after her. And to do this, she starts wheeling and dealing with all of the other crime syndicates because she's very smart. I love Kay. She's a she's a mess. You end up being able to interact with a group called the Picks. Which are fairly violent individuals. The Hutts, which all of you should know from Jabba the Hutt, as well as a third group.
The Picks or the Pikes?
Now I'm not sure off the top of my head anymore. I thought Pikes. It was the Picks. Pikes. But Pikes.
The Pike Syndicate was in The Mandalorian.
Then, yeah, that. Okay. And then I think the last one's the Crimson Dawn, I believe.
Yeah, and you see them in Solo.
Okay. I have not watched all of these things, so I'm glad someone has. And they're very assassin-y and let's, you know, control everything from the shadows types. So every mission, for the most part, that you take from even side missions, they tend to give you a little bit of reputation with one of the groups and takes it away from another one. So it doesn't appear like you'll be able to make all three of the groups love you unconditionally.
So kind of like mercenaries from way back in the day?
Yes.
The EA Mercenaries game?
Yeah.
And I haven't thought about that game in a while.
Yo, those games are
I don't think anyone has.
I miss those.
Miss them too.
You can get actual main missions from the bosses in different areas, but you also get little side missions that you can find by listening to conversations just around the world. You might be at a bar and you can see an area where it says, oh, click this button to listen, and if you do that, you can actually find either someone talking about a treasure they found, which will point out the general location of it on the map, or they'll tell you about some sort of side mission that you'll be able to activate. For instance, there was one individual who apparently bought a ship from somebody, but it was really a hunk of junk that was a scrapper. And the individual didn't know it. And you can hear the lady who basically scammed him into buying it talking about how she scammed him. And you can later on go and interact with him and be like, you know, yeah, she scammed you. That thing ain't worth shit. Sorry, dude. And from there, he's like, because his whole point of doing that was he wants to get off this rock because he's been like a doorman basically this entire time and he hasn't gotten a promotion. So he's like, I'm done with this area. I just want to go somewhere else and start a new life. So you can either choose to help him through this or you can choose to betray him at the end. Which gets you reputation in one area and loses it in another. It's really fun. And a lot of the side missions have a lot of that to it. There are some that are like, oh, this person's missing, blah, blah, blah. And it ends up leading to like a chest or some chest that you can get that might have items or cosmetics or something for you. The cosmetics in this game actually do have changes to the gameplay that they produce. Like, you can change your jacket, your pants, and your blaster holster. I don't know what else you can change because there's a few other things. But if you equip one certain blaster holster, you might be able to get, like, more hit points back when you do a silent takedown or something, which is basically all my character is equipped with, because why play this game anything but stealth? Right? Yeah.
Figured.
I'm a problem.
that's one of the cool things about this game is, like, if you want to play it stealth, you can. If you want to go more guns a-blazing, you can.
Yeah, I've found one slight issue with that concept of being able to choose how you play. If you end up attacking any of the members from a gang or are seen trespassing in their territories, it automatically takes away reputation with them. So, realistically, in my opinion, you really ought to be playing stealthily because I don't know how much you can raise this stuff throughout the whole game. I don't know if there's just a bunch of missions later on that can just be repeated indefinitely or what. I assume there's probably a finite amount of this stuff that you can get. So if you go in guns a-blazing everywhere, you're just going to end up with everyone hating you. And there are actual gameplay mechanics that are affected by this.
Aki, if you go in with guns blazing, I'm pretty sure you don't care whether the people like you or not.
You should.
To be fair. No. Because they're going to be dead. So
it still negatively affects your reputation. And that's problem.
Dead people kind of litter the ground and create flies and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, nobody wants to clean that up.
I never thought of that. Oh, God, you're right. That would be terrible. Anyways. But you don't want to piss all these groups off for a very simple reason. There are shops everywhere, and most of these shops are affiliated with one of these groups. If you piss them off, they may not sell anything to you, and if they are, they'll sell it by marking things up more and more and more the less the group likes you. The more the group likes you, the more of a discount you get, and you get access to gear that you otherwise wouldn't be able to ever access. Usually they're, you know, items for your character, like, you know, a new shirt or something that has some special gear and things. But also, if you reach the highest rank of reputation with them, you're also allowed to go into their territory and take whatever you want without repercussions. Because you're not stealing, you're taking what you need in their minds. And you get a whole set of cosmetics just given to you that have their own special abilities and stuff. So it's good to make them absolutely love you and eat out of your hand at some point. And then if you want to just piss all of them off, I guess, go for it. I don't think that'll, you know, benefit you in the long run. But hey, whatever. You got all the important things out of them, I guess. There's also side missions and stuff like that get blocked off if they hate you too much. You can unlock brand new people that will give you different little missions the more reputation you have. And if you don't have that reputation, they won't interact with you at all. So there's a lot of stuff attached to this reputation system. So you really need to try and at least keep everyone a little above just neutral, if at all possible, just so you get access to as much as you can, so you can further increase the reputation as you see fit. The entire game isn't set to make it to where you're like, oh, I'm going to be just loyal to just this one gang. It is very much meant for you to say, this gang and I, we're working out right now. Our stuff aligns. And the moment it stops aligning, they can go get fucked, and I'm going to help this other group. you are very outright. That is the entire point of this game. It's like, I'm working with them right now. They are not my masters. They are just some schmucks that I'm using to get ahead.
There's a lot in this game. I've noticed you put like 20 hours into it already.
Yeah, at least 20 hours. And I'm still on the first planet. There's a bunch of planets you get to travel to. I have just recently unlocked the ability to get back into my ship after this period of time. And I don't know if I can even go to other planets because I still haven't visited everything on this planet yet.
Good God.
yeah, you get a speeder immediately, which is awesome. It is very hard to control. It moves very fast. So good luck. I don't know how many times I've crashed and sent my character flying off of it to their death, which is fun. It's kind of funny to watch that happen.
Oh, yeah. So how does the game handle that, to be like, out of curiosity? Like, do you just like wake up in a back the tank or something?
No, you just get set back to wherever the last autosave was.
Oh,
yeah. Damn. Yeah, so you can lose some serious stuff. There is a couple problems I've had with the game so far. One of them, it has a tendency to crash a lot. It doesn't even overheat my Xbox. It just crashes a lot. So they still need to tweak it a little bit so that doesn't happen. And I've found, and this is just for me, an annoying issue. It may not be annoying to most people, but if you stealth through an area, you can knock out enemies. Basically, you kill them without alerting anybody. So, therefore, you know, your reputation doesn't go down because no one knows you did it. If you get into another section and it autosaves and then you have to reload that autosave, all the other people that you killed prior are now back alive. Yeah, which means if you had to kill all these people to get in here in the first place stealthily, well, now you're fucked when you're trying to go back out because you can't kill them because they're all right back there and half of them are looking directly at you now. Yeah, and that ruined some of my reputation with one group, and that really upset me because I was like, I knocked all of you out. I spent like 40-something minutes knocking all of you out. Are you kidding me? Yeah, these places are not small either. Like, every section in here is just so big. Like, I spent a good solid 4 or 5 hours just in the main city. Not even checking the outskirts or anything. Just in the main city.
Wow.
And I still haven't seen all of it. I've seen almost all of it, but I haven't gotten into every room yet. And I haven't even visited probably but half of the rest of the planet that I'm on, which is one entire section. Yes, it is astronomical in size. Because there's another 4, 5, 6 planets. I have no idea. There's at least, I think, 5 that you get to visit. I haven't touched any of them yet.
We'll have to revisit this in like a week or two when you put some more time in. I do want to throw out an issue that I have with the game.
Mm-hmm.
It really messes with my motion sickness, like really bad.
The speeder?
No, I haven't even gotten to the speeder yet. I've seriously put like an hour into the game. I dropped $20 to do the month of Ubisoft Plus so I could try this game out and like chime in on this if mm-hmm. I could. I only played about an hour because I got nauseous, like super duper nauseous, and I had to stop playing. I think a lot of it is due to the super widescreen presentation of the game. Like normal visuals. Like if you're playing a game, if there's a cutscene, you'll get black bars at the top and bottom. When it goes back mm-hmm. to gameplay, those black bars are gone. Not in this game, because it's built to be like a 21:6 or whatever it is, the ratio.
Yep.
And it has those black bars there all the time. There is a way to go into the settings and change it so it zooms in. It does cut off the edges of the screen, so you're going to miss seeing stuff. But I had to do that because the black bars were just messing with me too much. I didn't get as motion sick playing with it zoomed in, but it was still making me nauseous. I do want to play it more because obviously it's a huge game and there's a lot to it.
This is easily a couple hundred hour game at least.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to get along with this game, Joe. If it's making you motion sick now, later on, when you get your speeder, that moves so fast that I had trouble reacting to anything I was doing with it because it moves so quick. And then later on, you have the ability to actually have dogfights in space. And I think both of those, if you're feeling motion sickness already, those are probably going to wreck you.
All right, so I'm playing Visions of Mana tonight.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, because I'm sure you would love this game, but I do not think that's going to be good for you.
Yeah. Well, it clocks in at $69.99. What are your thoughts on Star Wars Outlaws for right now after your 20 hours so far?
I am so fucking just thrilled with this game. I love this game. I would like to see them fix those couple of issues I had with it, but even with those issues, this game is so damn fun. I love how the character interacts with the world, and because she's just a smartass, but she's also useless, and it's great. I am so for this. Go buy it, folks. This is fantastic.
Cool. All right, and are you up for revisiting it in like 2 weeks?
Sure.
Cool. All right, next game to talk about, Monster Jam Showdown, developed and published by Milestone, released August 29th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $49.99. Dive into a unique arcade racing experience made of thrilling off-road races and cool tricks. Squeeze your boost to demolish your opponents, then crash, twist, and distress the environment to gain even more power. Whether you're a hardcore Monster Jam fan or an arcade game enthusiast, this title is primed to deliver immediate driving sensations, whatever that means, and an accessible dual steering racing experience. Jacob, what is going on in Monster Jam Showdown?
So Monster Jam Showdown is the latest in whatever line of Monster Jam titles that there have been. And previously, I've not really been a big fan of them. The controls are generally very wonky, and it's just like it's just not fun. This one, they've really amped up the arcade feel to it. And so if you're new to it, let me back this up. So if you're new to it, it's very similar to driving like a Warthog in Halo. You really do have to have both joysticks, thumbsticks, whatever you want to call them. You have to be working both of them at the same time, because one stick controls the front wheels, the other one controls the back wheels in this one. And previously, it's just been hell trying to operate those things. This one, as I said, it's definitely more arcade oriented. And like when I was playing with my kids, once I showed them how like everything works, they were off to the races with this thing. So the main campaign is that, you know, you start off and you have your monster truck and you have to compete in these events all over, theoretically all over the world. I'm not gonna lie, like the locations look pretty similar real quick. So it's like, oh, this one's rain, like this one's snow, this one's mud, this one's slightly a forest, this one's like some guy's, like, you know, dirt pit out in his field. And it's just like the same, it pretty much just ends up being like the same five or six kind of locations over and over again. So I'm not going to lie, I was a little disappointed with that, but at the same time, you have to have a like area that's big enough to handle this kind of stuff. And the handling, honestly, it's a ton of fun, like just driving through everything. The courses do occasionally like have shortcuts, again, going back with the arcadey kind of nature. But they also have multiple paths too. And so it's so if you're tired of being stuck behind the pack, it's real easy to just move left, and then you only have to like deal with one guy instead of six, which can be really problematic because the AI in this game can be really, really dumb sometimes, and it's real easy to get stuck, like have your wheels locked in with another monster truck, like almost like Ben-Hur style, and it can be really frustrating trying to get out of it, and the only thing you could do is just hit your brakes, let the guy pass, and then like just try to go after him. There aren't that many modes to it. I mean, it's really just race. There's like a zombies kind of one. I believe it's called Hunter, or I think it's called Hunter. I forget what it is, but essentially it's like you and a partner start off and you have to like outpace all the other ones. And as you're outpacing them, they like, so like, let's say you're starting off at like 9th and 10th place. Once you outpace the 8th guy, he suddenly becomes part of your team, and now you're going after the other 7, you know, and then after you outpace 7, 6, like so on and so forth, until everyone has become a zombie. And then the other one is just stunts, which you're either going to, you know, really master or you're not. So, but honestly, like, there was a good selection of monster trucks. Like there's over 20 of them in here, and like I'm not caught up on monster trucks. Like I had a bunch of toys of them when I was a kid, but I don't know how many of these were just Matchbox creations versus like what's actually in real life other than Bigfoot. And Bigfoot's not in here. But like Gravedigger, if you're familiar with that, there's actually a zombie one that my kids thought was hilarious because like it has like actual like arms sticking out of it. There's a unicorn one that my youngest is doing his damnedest to earn. There's a couple shaped like dinosaurs. Like there's a lot of fun designs to it. I don't know that it actually matters in terms of like speed or durability or anything like that. It just seems to be, you know, may the best person win. I didn't have a lot of luck, or actually I didn't have any luck finding an online game, possibly due to how early I got this.
Yeah.
So I can't really comment on online play, but my family and I have had a solid time playing this. Like it's way more accessible than previous Monster Jam games.
I think a lot of that comes down to developer previous game, like the previous two, the Steel Titans games, were developed by Rainbow and published by THQ Nordic. Before that, they were from Game Mill and Team 6. This one is developed and published by Milestone.
And Milestone makes Hot Wheels.
Is good.
Yeah, and Milestone makes Hot Wheels Unleashed, which had monster trucks in both 1 and 2 of that series. So it seems like an obvious choice to bring them aboard to give it more an arcadey feel.
Yeah, Milestone also does the MotoGP games, Ride, MXGP. Like, they have tons of titles under their belt. So, you know, it makes sense why this one feels a lot better than previous titles.
Yeah. Like, I really enjoyed it. It's, you know, if you, like, didn't like the other ones, I would honestly recommend giving this one a chance.
All right, well, it clocks in at $50. Hey, kids. What's your verdict?
I'd say buy it.
Cool.
You know, dumb AI aside, like, it's a pretty good time.
Well, now Simon wants to be on my lap. What's up, buddy? Hi, Simon. Are you trying to be on my podcast? Oh, boy. All right, next game. Mad Experiments Escape Room. Developed by Play Together Studio. Published by Nezhcraft. Released August 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows Store for $14.99. Award-nominated cross-platform escape game. A loner with up to five players. Explore three unique rooms. Solve mind-bending puzzles and unravel the dark secrets of Professor Cheshire and his experiments. Bree and Aki, both of you played this. Bree, how about you start us off? What is Mad Experiments Escape Room?
This is, surprise, an escape room game. this is a...
No!
I know, right?
Does it feature mad scientists?
Sort of, yes. There's an Alice in Wonderland vibe to a lot of the game, which I appreciate, but it wasn't overt, and the story stayed original. There are three chapters, each telling part of a connected story. You can play them in any order, but there is a little bit of a story there. Professor Cheshire and his assistant Hildegard have invited us to try their new mind experiments. In chapter one, we get to explore and unravel the secrets of their mansion, but we're really just trapped in Cheshire's lab as his new test subject. There's voice acting for Cheshire and Hildegard, which is nice. In Chapter 2, we're in a coma, having been injured by Cheshire's experiments, and we're solving puzzles with the help of Hildegard. And then in Chapter 3, we dive into Hildegard's memories as a child and what her life looked like being experimented on by Cheshire. And it turns out she might actually be, like, his daughter, and she's sick, and he's trying to find a cure for her. It's a whole thing. But yeah, so there's three rooms. There's an option to put them in relax mode to get rid of the timers for the levels, which I liked, partly from the standpoint of stopping to type notes. So that's what I did. You start out in a lobby, even in single player. You get to choose a mask to represent you. I like the bunny. There were some weird steampunk versions of, like, a Brotherhood of Steel mask and some other animals and stuff.
There was the Oni mask, which was my favorite.
Yes. Clues are found on notes that are often hidden or locked behind other steps. You might need to enter your into the consciousness of a rat, enter your consciousness into the body of a rat. There we go. to run a maze and find a clue that involves some, like, blinking lights and Morse code. Some of the puzzles are pretty easy, others not so much. There was a fair amount of math involved in parts, and of course you need to be really observant. There are achievements. Oh, go ahead.
Some of those, I wouldn't have been able to figure some of these out without a guide or you around, because some of them have hints that, you know, you'll find a little plaque that says some stuff that gives you a hint of what you're supposed to do. Others don't. And when they don't, you really don't exactly know what you're supposed to do.
The information was all there eventually, but yeah, finding some of that was tricky. The other thing about the timers is there are achievements for finishing the room in 90 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Which is easy on a second playthrough because you'll know the end codes, except I couldn't figure out how it was even possible without extra people in the third room, so I grabbed an Aki. And we figured that shit out.
We 100% of that game real quick at that point. Yeah.
Multiplayer, you can host or join. It's up to six people total. There are no public lobbies, though. You have to create a room name to play with friends and have your own way to communicate, like an Xbox party. I do believe it's cross-platform play, though, which is cool. So you just need the room name, which
is something. Yeah, I like that. There is something that really annoys me about that system as well. After you're done with a level, you have to leave, and both individuals have to leave, and a whole new thing has to be created for you to join, which is kind of a big pain in the ass that doesn't need to exist. It was very annoying
to have to restart the lobby, yeah. Thankfully, that gets fixed in the next game. To some degree.
Yeah, very some.
My first, like, real negative thing was that it uses a cursor in the menus, and parts of the game, you're using this cursor. I had to turn the sensitivity way down to make it work, and you're typing on, like, little keypads, which is very rough. It was much better suited for keyboard and mouse. And being clunky like that makes the speedrun achievements even harder to do solo.
Yeah, I very much agree, because like you don't, when you go into a keypad, you're not actually going into a keypad. You're walking up to it and you're zooming in, or you're crouching down or something to look at it better. You're not actually clicking on it to bring it up. You actually have to push the buttons from wherever the hell you're standing, and that is so hard to do. I dropped it down to like 0.3 or something, and I still had trouble inputting things because it moved so fast. And that was about as low as it could go. It could go down to a 0.1. It's very, very clearly made for mouse and keyboard, and it did not port over to controller very well
at all. Yeah, it didn't translate well. The other weird thing is when you pick things up and drop them, they just kind of float, which I guess is to make sure nothing clips through the floor and breaks the game. So it was both a good thing that that didn't happen, but also just kind of weird where you like pick something up to look for a clue, and now you've just got a bunch of like random things floating everywhere.
Yeah, I thought that was an irritation, because in every other game I've ever played, you pick something up, if you can't use it, you say exit this, and it gets put back exactly where you picked it the hell up.
Yeah.
And you can pick up basic almost everything in this game. Yeah. Like if you see a book on a shelf, you can pick it up. None of them serve any purpose, but you can pick up like the 40 books in this area.
A couple of them do, but yeah. But yeah, so there's a lot of things you could pick up, and now you've got things floating. There's like this floating statue of Cthulhu or something, and yeah, it was like it's a little weird. But managed to get it work out. But yeah, even with the finicky cursor and the not always clear notes, I had a good time with it.
It wasn't terrible.
Well, the first game's $15. What do you two think?
I'd put it at a try it.
I'm at a deny it to a very tentative try it, because I care a lot about how it controls, and it didn't. It just didn't translate to a controller very well, which really hampered my ability to enjoy the game personally.
That's fair.
Fair.
Well, let's see if there's anything different in the sequel, Mad Experiments Escape Room 2, developed by Play Together Studio, published by Nezhcraft, released August 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows Store for $12.99. A sequel of the award-winning cross-platform multiplayer escape game, Mad Experiments. Loner with up to five friends, follow the story of Hildegard and Professor Cheshire, explore rich environments to find clues and solve mind-bending puzzles to escape. Tell us about this one.
All right, well, we're back in Cheshire's mansion for four new chapters. In this story, we're learning more about Hildegard and how Cheshire is just trying to cure her with his mad experiments. Our host is a steam animatronic bird instead of Cheshire himself, because now we're sneaking around and trying to escape for good. In the prologue, we're in Cheshire's office. Chapter one is the library, and I felt like that was the most solid room for puzzles being clear.
Significantly.
Chapter two is the greenhouse, and this is the first time I felt a reason to rush in the story, because there's poison gas that is floating around. And this chapter also has possibly the most irritating puzzle. You have four pipes, and you're trying to get this flower sap through the pipes, but the apparatus has more than four empty spaces, and the pipes fall out easy, and you have to juggle the pipes. So it took some practice and communication. We finally got it.
Yeah, it took us a good, because it's not just like one track where you have to put stuff like that snakes around. There's like, it starts on the bottom track and it'll go up to the top track, and there's like four of them across as well. So you have to figure out how it's moving and where it's moving to figure out where you're going to put the next pipe to in a hole. It took us
longer than I wanted it to. Yeah. I mean, that was the majority of what it took for us to figure out, was just working on that one puzzle, basically. And then finally, chapter three is the train that is the only way in or out of the Institute. And our goal is to make a drink that will stop Professor Cheshire once and for all. I would say the puzzles were more complex in the second game and had a lot more interest to them. I found myself scratching my head as to the hows and whys of solving the puzzle sometimes, but not as often as I did in the first game. Like, I was mostly able to find the notes and the solutions in comparison to the first game, like, a lot easier, but there were still times where we had to guess at things. I would say that was chapter two, the greenhouse was like, that was really the worst. Like, why why is this? How is this? Why did this work one time and not another? Like, just trying to get the ladder up or the staircase up. Like,
I've played the wheels.
I have no idea why it worked, but it worked.
Yeah, I've played it solo myself after that, and I still don't know how to get that thing to go up properly. Yeah. It still takes me a while because I just don't understand what you're supposed to do to actually get it to go up. It's a very irritating level. That is the single worst level in both games as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Chapter 2 of this one's terrible.
Still has the same multiplayer setup as the first game. One improvement, though, is the ability to go to the next chapter after solving one instead of going back to the lobby.
Retry the one that you just completed,
yeah,
though.
That is the only downside. Yeah, that would be a good improvement, would be to just like restart so you can go for your speed run and keep practicing until you get it. Because there's
another issue with it that apparently you didn't get to see, likely because you were the host of all of these. Anytime we finished an area, if I tried to bring up the menu would be behind the clear screen stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And
I had that problem, too.
Okay, and you can't go around it because half of the words on the menu are hidden behind a black bar. So you don't know what you're clicking, which made it a real pain in the ass to get back to the main menu for me since, you know, I wasn't the host, so it made it very hard for me to get back there because I had to guess when to click A to go to main menu. It was an annoyance.
Yeah. Some other odd things in the prologue, the code didn't show up on the keypad display as you're typing on the final door. Like you can type on it and you can hear it, but it doesn't show up on the display on the keypad. So I was just sort of hoping that I was typing the right things. And again, when you're trying to do a speed run, like it's helpful if you can see what you're doing.
Yeah.
I felt like the production design was a lot more detailed in the sequel. Like it was prettier. There was more detail, more interest to all of the objects in the room and the decoration and all that. Still better suited for keyboard and mouse though. There's a little more variety even in the lobby. Like the lobbies looked different instead of the same old room, which was kind of cool. Like the greenhouse looks like the outside of a greenhouse, and the, you know, train looks like part of the train. It was pretty cool. Settings, the controls are a little finicky. The controls in general are a little finicky. I felt like overall I had an easier time moving the cursor in the second one, but you know, they were still kind of finicky. Aki, you have more words on that?
I would love to say that I thought it was easier to use than this one. I thought the menus were easier to use because in the menus, they no longer used the cursor system. Instead, you actually could use the D-pad, which made everything easier. The primary issue with that is they set it up in a incredibly stupid way. Just outright, it is dumb. For instance, when you're changing your field of view, it changes it by 6 points every time you push the button a single time, which means that you can't get to like a 90 field of view, which is where I personally like my field of view to be, because it starts you off at like 60. You can't get to 90. You get to like 92 or 94 and then to like 80 something instead. And it's like, why can't I just push it over by one? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
And it was the same for the sensitivity for controlling like the cursor, because you, when you're using the number pad, it's still that evil, evil cursor.
Oh, and then they switched the enter button and the clear button, which side of the keypad they were on in the second game, which was just like totally throwing me off for a while.
Yeah, and you can't control the like that when you're controlling the sensitivity of the cursor. That changes by 0.3 every time. So I couldn't get it to 0.3 or 0.2 like I did in the first game. I had to have it higher. Again, it's just some really silly design choices with the menu that just don't make any sense when you could just tap the button and just bring it up by that 0.1 or whatever each time would make it easier. Yeah. And still using the cursor was still just horrific because it is very clearly not made for a controller at all.
Yeah. There were also speedrun achievements in this game that were seemingly more forgiving than the first. with their times. However,
until you got to level two, until you got to chapter two.
Until you get to chapter two and three, where the achievements don't unlock as they're supposed to.
Yeah, oh, no. They just unlock.
So we got the speedrun achievements, but we did not get the achievements for unlocking, for finishing the level and doing it without using extra clues. Now, I will say I've sent a message to the publisher and they are very interested in getting it fixed. I've actually talked to them twice now about my experiences, and they believe that they have locked down at least part of the problem, where there was some assignment stuff that got crossed. So hopefully there'll be a fix for that soon. They seem very eager to get that fixed, and they're concerned about the quality of their product. So that was good to hear.
Nice. Did you let them know that we also got the two timed achievements for chapter two and three without being without even remotely close to the right time?
Yeah, and I let them know that and that we didn't get them, and so the crossover there. So yeah, hopefully. Sorry, there was a fly in here. I'm like super distracted and like totally gone into cat mode. I'm like ready to bounce. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, overall, I liked this one better for its polish and amount of content. I thought the puzzle designs overall were better and clearer to find the solutions, except for that one greenhouse chapter.
Yeah, that chapter sucked.
That chapter was a little rough in a lot of ways. I still liked it, but yeah, that one was rough. So yeah.
Cool.
Aki, anything else?
Anything else?
Nah, I've said my bit.
Okay. All right,
it's $13. What's your verdict?
I would again put it at a try it.
Again, go ahead.
Oh, I was not as concerned with the finicky controls, as you were. So.
Yeah, and mine is again a deny to a tentative try. Again, because of the controls, just trying to move that cursor to do the number pad is fucking misery inducing. if you like could click on it and it would just bring up the number pad and then you could use the D-pad just to go around it like you do in lots of other games, that would solve like almost every one of my issues with the cursor system in this, is just being able to do that. If they made it like that, this would easily be a try it for me for both games. But using that cursor to try and do that is so hard with a controller, because it, no matter what you put it at, it doesn't move slow enough.
All right. Well, moving on. Next game, Elon and the Divine Proof. Developed and published by Derek DF, released September 4th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows Store for $4.99 each, or you could get a bundle with all three versions for $7.99. A young teenager called Elon, an adventurous soul always looking for thrills, he was known among his friends for daring stunts and fearless attitude. Inexplicably, Elon found himself on a beautiful island surrounded by lush vegetation, crystal clear waters, and ancient ruins, but what caught his attention the most were the hamburgers. Driven by curiosity, Elon embarked on a mission to collect all the hamburgers scattered around the island. Bree, how did the collection go?
I have an immediate question.
Okay.
This isn't Elon Musk based, is it?
No, it is not.
Oh, thank God.
Happens to be named Elon. But he's a young boy who loves hamburgers and was known for doing daring stunts, is the setup for this. He finds himself on a strange beach with hamburgers everywhere. So the goal of the game is to collect all the hamburgers. It's full of 3D exploration. You'll need to jump, spin, climb, wall jump, and use your glider to find all the burgers. A lot of the movement is very forgiving. There are other times where it is very much the opposite. You cannot swim, so if you touch the water, you start back at the starter dock, which feels really far away when you've been platforming around a ways and you make a misstep. The only tutorial is the pause menu, which is just a controls map. There is a mantling mechanic, which is really helpful. I spent a lot of my time looking at one place to get to, getting there, and then seeing the next set of burgers and wondering how the heck I was going to get there. And there are a lot of movements that were inconsistent, like the glider didn't always come out when I hit the RB button, or there was some kind of double jump backflip I eventually figured out that I must have been accidentally doing from a crouch on left trigger. But once I mastered that, it was very helpful. And it was very interesting to see something more 3D from this dev. His other platforming games have been 2D. Once you found 250 burgers, a portal opens up for you to end the game. But there are more than 250 burgers to collect. I was worried I needed to find every last one, and that was going to get tricky. I struggled with the tower a little bit. I saw some far-off things.
Oh, that friggin' that tower.
Utterly impossible. There were these blocks that moved in and out, and you needed to time your jumps on that thing. And then there were these rotating spikes in another place that you need to jump over, and a regular jump isn't high enough, so you got to do the crouch jump thing. Sometimes the challenge in an area was simply moving the camera fast enough. I wasn't able to find it, but apparently if you pass through a certain area on the Xbox version, you get to a giant X, like the OG Xbox. That's like a little Easter egg you can find. There's also a really fast, easy way to get through the level. I'm going to try it tomorrow. Because you get an achievement for every 25 burgers. So if you run over, there's a secret area behind this very easy to get to place. You have to jump and kind of dash around the back of a tower and then glide down. There's a secret place to get to. And if you go in there, there's like a secret little tunnel. And there's just a bunch of giant burgers worth 25 burgers apiece.
Oh, geez.
And you can just finish the game in like 2 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's on your plans for tomorrow?
That's one of my plans for tomorrow, is to try and master the super quick and easy way, which will still probably take me like 15 minutes instead of two. But, you know, I'll get there when I get there.
All right. Well, yeah. The game. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say the game's $5 on each platform, or you could get the 3-pack for $8. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, easy achievements. It was cute. The price is great if you're looking for that, especially the bundle. I would put this at a why not? I mean, like, the price is great for the achievements. Once I realized I didn't need to stress about getting every hamburger, it was easier to relax and just have some fun figuring out how far I could get. I had fun platforming. Why not?
Cool. I can agree with that. I think visually the game is such a massive improvement over his other titles.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's different assets or if different created stuff. It looks so good. Visually, it's just stunning. I wish there were checkpoints.
Yeah, so there is a checkpoint that I found, and it's in this, like, the middle tower, like, when you first come in, but I don't know how to trigger the checkpoint, or what it is that triggers it, but once I got there, it was easier doing the tower. I didn't have to run all the way from the original area, but I'm not sure what triggers that checkpoint so that you're up on the middle area.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for you. We will let you get going so you can get to your streaming. Sorry that we kept you so late.
It's not that late. I've been later before, I think.
Sailing tonight. And
I am sailing again. Yar.
Yar har.
Yar.
Yar.
Yar. You have any final words before we let you go, Bree?
I'm excited to play with balls.
Aren't we all?
To be continued. But have a good night. Bye. Good night.
Aki is just like, what? Are you okay, Aki?
Sure. Yeah.
Go ahead. What's on your mind? Tell us.
I don't know. My brain is frazzled now.
Bree said she's going to play with balls. I'm all confused.
Yes, exactly. I wasn't expecting that. That's something I would expect.
Yeah.
I was expecting something like that out of Jacob.
Well. God. Next game to talk about, Shadow of the Ninja Reborn, developed by Tango Project, published by Inin Games, Natsume, and United Games Entertainment. Released August 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. After 33 years in the shadows, prepare to see this legendary action adventure in a new light, looking and playing better than ever before. Shadow of the Ninja Reborn is Tango Project's remake of a cult classic that the fans have been waiting for. Jacob, what is Shadow of the Ninja Reborn?
First off, it is a game I am horrendous at. Like,
cool.
Oh my God. I am real bad at this. So it is a remastered version of a classic action platformer, which, I mean, if you remember NES games from that time, a lot of comparisons are going to get made to Ninja Gaiden with this, especially like later ones in the series. They have very similar powers. And funnily enough, there was going to be a Shadow of the Ninja Game Boy game, but that got turned into Ninja Gaiden Shadow. Shadow of the Ninja got turned into Ninja Gaiden Shadow, which also, funnily enough, is the only Ninja Gaiden game I can actually beat without cheats. So you play as one of two ninjas. There's a male and a female. And thankfully, there is co-op if you want to try it out. But pretty much you're just jumping and slashing and like going through levels. It's set in a futuristic New York City, which now in retrospect, that makes even more sense about Ninja Gaiden Shadow, because that game takes like place in New York City as well. But yeah, so you get like all these different kind of there aren't like all different kinds of weapons, but you have a katana, you can upgrade it or switch it out. You have like a grappling hook that you can use, which is super helpful. And yeah, it's just you're running, jumping. Sometimes you're able to climb up on the ceiling and swing up onto an overhang. Do like pretty much like insane jumps off of stuff. I'm not gonna lie, it's really fun. I also just really freaking suck at it, and I can't make it past the first boss.
Did you try two-player at all?
I did. We didn't have much more success. But yeah, so the game has normal and hard mode. There's no easy. And so I can't even imagine what hard mode is like, because it's just like the game's just like, all right, get fucked, scrub. Like,
nice.
Yeah, it's just, this game's hard as hell, and I mean, it's beautiful to look at, it sounds great, it looks, yeah,
visually great. It looks great. Seeing the screenshots, it looks like visually they did a nice job enhancing it.
Yeah, like I wish I could see all the other levels, because like you go into the options and it's like game options, and I'm like, oh good, like maybe they'll have like little cheats, kind of like Arrow the Acrobat, where it's just like, oh, here you go, you suck at this, have infinite health. No, this game's just like, oh, you suck at this, go start back at the beginning of the level again. So I don't know if I'll ever get to see the rest of this game. I'm enjoying, like, you know, it looks great. I'm just terrible.
Yeah, well, it clocks in at $20. What are your thoughts on it?
If you're looking for a challenge, this is a great game, especially if you're looking for like old school, action platformer Ninja Gaiden-esque vibes. This is really good. If you're like me and you suck, you might want to just wait for a sale, but I really recommend it.
Cool. All right, next up, Jacob's favorite term in the world, Whacking Hell, developed and published by Sanic Games, released August 28th on Xbox Series X and S and PC for $9.49. Whacking Hell is a frantic 2D top-down shooter with roguelite elements. The gates of hell have opened. Whack all the monsters before they whack you. Collect their souls, ramp up your weapons and your spells, and become a slaughtering machine. Defeat waves of enemy attacks and nasty bosses by choosing the right path of upgrades. Jacob, how is your whacking going?
My whacking's going fine. I'm usually able to do it once a day. We're talking about a video game, aren't we? Anyway. So Whacking Hell, the easiest way to think about this is that it's very similar to Vampire Survivors. There are different classes that you can be. You'd start out with this very simple one, but of course, as you go through all the levels, you gain experience, you get new weapons, new abilities, but you also have to gather gold so you can purchase stuff. But not only do you have to gather gold, but you also have to gather materials because you have to rebuild the town that all these monsters like screwed up. And so as you're rebuilding the town, each one of these buildings controls like a certain part. Like there's one that, you know, you can upgrade your health and your movement speed. There's another one that unlocks like a more difficult mode. There's another one where it's like an item shop and that's how you buy extra weapons or you buy different character classes. And so the replay value for this game is actually really high, and it's real easy to write this off as some sort of like, you know, Vampire Survivors knockoff. But once you get a really good rhythm going with it, it's the game's not so much in that like, like I have all these powers, I'm a god. It's like, I have all these powers, I'm still getting fucked. and so you really have to like work out which of these powers work well with each other. And thankfully, like when you can decide which powers you're going to get, it will, like, there are little icons that show, oh, this one complements this one. And they really do. It's not just like so much like, I'm going to keep making references to Vampire Survivors, but like it's the easiest like jump point for me on it. So that one, it's like that in that game, it's just like, oh, well, this turns into a new weapon. This, like, this does that. In Whacking Hell, what it does is that very frequently these powers that you get, when they're combined with each other, what they'll do is that you actually end up working out like a rhythm for it. And so it's like, okay, this weapon goes, then this one, then this one, then this one, then this one. And then you could start like, you can start planning your attacks as like, okay, that one just launched, I need to like whip back around, and then so I could do this forward slash and like kill everyone in like in this radius. And once you start getting that kind of rhythm going with it, it's actually really, you know, it's really freaking addictive. And also it makes the bosses hell of a lot easier to deal with. I actually didn't even beat the first boss until last night. And I will say this, I found like Vampire Survivors, that's a game that you can play in any kind of state, you know, what have you. This one, I definitely had to play it stone cold sober to get around and figure out like what I was doing. And so, you know, this isn't as much of a relaxing game as Vampire Survivors, but it's definitely fun. My only real gripe with it is that even at this point, I'm still having a huge problem figuring out where my character, like what kind of hitbox they kind of have, for the enemies to hit me with, because it, like, there's all sorts of times where it looks like nothing should have hit you, but then it's like, like your guy is losing like a ton of health. And it's just, I've really struggled to figure out like where exactly like my character's, you know, where the safe part is, like so I can like dodge in between monsters and stuff. But even then,
I know where the safe place is.
Straight up his ass.
That's fair.
Right in his asshole.
Anyway, but yeah, like so. Other than that, like I think this is a very solid title, and I really hope people pick it up.
Cool. Well, it's $10. What's your verdict?
Totally worth it. Totally.
Cool. All right, we got one last game to talk about tonight, and that is called, yay, Love Is All Around, developed by InTiny, published by New Gamer, released August 7th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $12.99. Love Is All Around is a simulating love story, real-life, full-motion, interactive video. Lot of words. You will not only meet, but also fall in love with six beauties with completely different personalities and styles. Eventually embark on an immersive and sweet journey, one after another. Jacob, what is Love Is All Around?
So, So Love Is All Around is a full motion visual novel where you're this guy starting out in a job, and through happenstance you end up running into all these girls who one way or another they start showing interest in you, and you have to decide, you know, who are you going to focus your attention on, who are you going to give a gift to, who are you going to like, who are you going to like live with. But interestingly enough, the game's really not that dirty.
It is only T-rated, so.
I mean, yeah, but like there could be like, you know, implied stuff. But anywho. And so it's pretty much just you going throughout your days, like, you know, trying to figure out like who you're going to hang out with, who you're going to talk to, looking at your cell phone and responding to messages to people. Stuff like that. And in all honesty, there isn't as much decision making as I thought that there was going to be with it. You're really just watching it play out. So it's really like almost like an interactive TV show or movie. And there's different pathways as you can decide, like, you know, which girl you're going to go with, or like what girl you're going to do something with. And that will affect your standing with the other women. And you know, like, so, like, you know, one of them, like their heart will be full and the other one's like, oh, my heart's broken. And like your meter will go down with them. And so you really have to like juggle it and just navigate it as best as you can. And it's like, it could just be like sharing a meal and like, what are you going to eat first? Or, oh no, the faucet's leaking. Which way are you going to turn the wrench?
Lefty, loosey, righty, tighty.
Yeah, I thought that, and I ended up spraying water all over the girl, and she was really mad at me.
Wet t-shirt contest. So, woo!
No. She didn't want anything to do with me.
Who does?
That's fair. The only problem that I had with this game is the fact that not all of the writing is translated, and so yeah. I had to blindly guess what I was doing at some points, and then like the girl would just be like, oh, I hate you, blah 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 blah. But it wasn't, but like that line wouldn't be translated either, and so I'd just be like, I guess I did something bad. I don't know what I did. I'm sorry.
So it needs a little more work with the translation, I guess. It needs a little more localization time.
Yeah, but other than that, like, you know, it's fine if you like visual novels. Like, I mean, this is not game of the year material, but if you like a visual novel and you want to just watch a movie instead of just watching a, like, you know, an interactive PowerPoint presentation, then I'd recommend checking it out.
All right, well, it's $12.99, $13 your verdict.
I think it's worth it for that price, especially because of how much like video you're getting in it, yeah, compared to like, you know, your standard visual novel.
Right, sounds good. We are done. We finished the episode. We made it through. Thanks to you two for being here this whole time. Thanks for Bree for coming on and spending an extra half hour with us because we talk so much. Music this episode. Man, I wonder if I have something good Star Wars related I could play. I think I have Vert's acapella version of the Star Wars theme I could play.
Do eat.
All right.
That's fair. Yeah.
Anyone have any final words?
Listen here, fuck snort. Eat that
ass! I really can't top that one.